Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for gathering us together as you do every Sunday like this. Father, it's unto you that we have come. We pray that we'll find grace in your sight. We pray that you'll be merciful unto us, O Lord. Let the entrance of your word give life. Let it lighten our darkness. Heavenly Father, in all that we do, our prayer is that you will be glorified this morning. In the precious name of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Wera, for that ministration. That was really impactful. God bless you. Please, can we see more people? If you are able to unvideo yourself, Can we see more people? Thank you. It's really nice to preach to faces and not just numbers and names. Amen. What I will share with us today, you know, it's just in line with what Sister Wura showed us this morning, and hopefully, you know, we'll do some of it today, and if we can't finish today, we'll continue next week by the grace of God. And it's on the topic of what do we ask of the Lord? What do we ask of the Lord? About 10, 15 years ago, there was a movement that started in America in which people began to sell success. Not our own sister success, so that she's not for sale. Just, you know, where you will come to a meeting and they will teach you how to be successful in life. And one of the greatest proponents of that success sale is a man called Tony Robbins. If you Google him, you'll see his name. And, you know, it's a huge thing. Today, I hear that it's like a $3 billion industry where you'll go to seminars, you know, they'll pump you up and there are steps on how to be successful. You will buy their books. You will buy their videos. You know, they'll teach you how to be successful. And I was watching one of the videos, and in their seminars, you know, of course they'll charge money for you to come to the seminars. People who have front row seats, they charge as much as $20,000. You know, they have people who are at the back, they call them VIPs, you know, they charge them about $5,000, $10,000, you know. And in watching, you know, I noticed something which was frightening in a way to me, maybe not frightening to the world. And what was frightening to me was what I saw in those videos and those seminars of success being sold, you know, them teaching you how to be successful, things you need to do to be successful. It was no different from what I'm seeing in a lot of churches today. It was no different. The message was no different. Instead of you paying, now what you pay is your tithe and offering, but the message is the same. Teaching you how to be successful. Now, I asked myself a question. The goal of what they are selling you, what is the goal? The question, what is the goal of what they are selling you? And the goal of what they're selling you, which they term success, is equivalent to material, to fame, to position in life. And, you know, when the faith movement started, please don't get me wrong, the faith movement in the church had some very, very good points, some deep teachings on faith. But in some faith movement circles, there were some things that they got wrong. And the things that they got wrong were no different from these things that the success movement, the selling of success movement, were teaching. So what do you have faith in? You have faith in God to get material. You have faith in God to have position in life, to have good health, good success. You know, the message was no different. And that led me to looking into the Word of God. What, when we come to God, you know, in James chapter 4, it says that we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. And when we ask because what we ask for is to consume upon our lusts. Okay? I remember one of the faith movement authors that I, you know, when I was a young Christian, I devoured a lot of, you know, books on Christianity. Definitely the faith movements, you know, all the authors, Kenneth Hagin, what's his name? The guy that just died recently in California. The black guy, I've forgotten his name.
Frederick Price.
You know, and there were some guys in England, John F. Avanzini, and all of, I devour their books. And there was a common thread I saw in a lot of their books and a lot of their stories. And that common thread was from the scriptures where it says that Christ says that ask anything in my name and I will do it. Let me see. Sister Folake Adeni, please, would you open your Bible to John chapter 14 and let us see your face, please. John 14:14, and read it.
John 14:14 says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it."
You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay? Also, could you open to Mark 11? Mark 11 and read
23. Mark 11:23 says, "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him."
Read 24 also, please.
"Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours."
Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you what?
Believe that you have received it.
Believe that you have received it and you will?
And it will be yours.
It will be yours. You will have it. And those were the books, you know, those were the things I read back in those days. And, you know, one of those writers I remember quite well,
what's going on?
You have to check, but I've missed internet. Let's give him, keep giving. I mean, just gonna come back up.
Okay.
Some of them had, they were well-meaning, but they were wrong. Because what I saw that, okay, A lot of those writers, what they paraded were what they called success. So they will show their very big cars, very big houses. And that is what they paraded to the world, in which, not to the world, to the Christian populace, anybody that bought their books. Because what they wanted you to see, they called successful, was them, you know, driving big cars, having big houses, and all that. Interesting thing, some of them, when they fell ill, they would not let you know. Because part of their sales pitch is that you have to be healthy. And if you are not healthy, if you are falling to any sickness, that means you do not have enough faith. If you don't have, if you pray and you don't have the big car, you can't get a big promotion, it means you do not have enough faith. And when I began to study the Word of God, and I began to look at the patriarchs of old, and I began to look at people like Paul, like Peter, like John, and I began to look at their prayers. The prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. It changed my whole orientation on the meaning of success. It changed my whole orientation on what we ask God for in prayer. God has given us a finite number of years to live on this earth. And God has given us a task to bring his kingdom upon the earth. And that was the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he taught us to pray, he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What's the next thing? "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." Do we know that is part of our task that the Lord has given us on this earth? To bring his kingdom to be made known upon the earth. "Thy kingdom come." If God has given you a task to do something, it should inform the kind of prayers we pray upon the earth today. And, you know, when I began to look deeply at the prayer life of a Christian and what we ask God for. Now, there is something existential. When I mean existential, what I mean is by our everyday living, there are certain things we believe God for. But as Christians, we don't live for existential reasons alone. That means that the reason why God has created us and the reason why we live is not just to exist for what we need upon the earth, for what we need God for upon the earth. So we need food, right? We need clothing. We need jobs. We need security. But the question is that the only thing God has created us for? Just to exist and to live. But if we say no to that answer, what additional things ought we then to begin to ask God for? And the secret to this for me, you know, when I looked deeply, was that I saw that a lot of these teachers that I used to read, a lot of them, they gave the half of the picture. They didn't give us the whole picture. Because the first half of the picture is, yes, ask God for anything. God will do it. But there's a reason why God does what he does. Last week, we learned that God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God for some things. And part of what God is jealous for, we talked about it last week. Sister Falake, please read that John 14 that you read. You read John 14, 14, right? Read verse 13. Because the first half of the picture is ask me for anything and I will do it. And if that is the only thing you know, that you can ask God for anything, there's a propensity, there's a possibility that what we will ask God for might be the wrong things. But Jesus Christ, in teaching us that verse 13 is the other side of the story. Please read it.
John 14:13. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father.
I will do whatever you ask in my name. Why? So that Jesus Christ may bring glory to his Father. And we learned last week that God is very, very jealous about his glory. He will not share his glory with anyone. So one of the primary reasons why we ask anything of God is because when God grants the answer, God will be glorified. In the book of 1 John, where I quoted, John was telling us that we have not because we ask not. And when we ask, the things we ask for, the other meaning of it is to consume upon our lust, that is, it means that it will not bring any glory to the Father. And anything that is asked with a selfish heart, God will not grant. Anything that is asked that doesn't align with the will of God, God will not grant. So this is the first thing we have to learn about asking and receiving of the Lord. God will only grant that which will bring glory to his name. I repeat, God will only grant a request which will bring glory to his name. It is very important that we know that. Because, okay, I used to remember when I read these books, you know, I will say, I want to have faith. Lord, give me faith. And I'll begin to ask, Lord, you know how they put it in those books? Just ask God anything. You need big faith. I'm working, I'm earning, how much was it then? I think about 2,000 naira per month. Then 2,000 naira was like $2,000 today, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I'll be praying and asking, you know, I wanted a big house, Lord. Me too, I want a big car. And, you know, big house didn't come, big car didn't come. Rather, I was living in a shack in the village. You know, I wanted a big promotion. Big promotion didn't come. Rather, I was clearing sheet dung, bird dung and pig dung. You know how frustrating it will be when you're praying for big things. Rather than you going bigger, you are going lower. But you know, that's the interesting thing. The lower I was going, the more I was knowing God. Because the place where I was going, the place where God put me, where I thought was a lower place, was one of the places where I had the most divine experiences in my life. Me, I thought that having faith was, you know, asking for what my own, yes, my heart desired it, but there was another side to the story, that my heart wasn't desiring the right things. You know what the Bible tells us, that the heart of man is evil. Who can know it? So the other side of the story, which we were not told, is that what, yes, you can ask God for anything and he will do it. But that which Christ would answer, that which he expects us to ask of him, is because his answer will bring glory to his Father. The Bible also tells us, let men see your good works, that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. God is very, very particular about his glory. One last thing. Please, Sister Folake, read 1 Corinthians 10:31. And when we talk about existential things, our everyday living, there is even something about our everyday living which the Bible talks about. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Thank you. So even in our everyday living, there's something about the existential asking that is truly connected with the glory of God. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we wear, wherever we live, whatever we do, our jobs, our promotion, our spouses, our homes, we do it for the glory of God. Do you see how tied our lives should be to God's glory? We were created for His own good pleasure, that our lives itself might bring glory to God. Now, if we do not know the other side of the story, the danger there, which happened to me for a long time until I began to know the Bible more, the danger there is that what we are being sold, just like, you know, success is being sold, sister, success is not you. Success is being sold to the world, to the world. Even in church now, success is being sold to the children of God. The danger there is that if we do not know the other side of the story, which is that even in our asking should be so that God's name will be glorified. What we will begin to ask for, and we might be asking for years, what we will ask for will be things that our lustful hearts desire, and we will never have answers to those. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have been there, that I'm asking something for years, and there is no answer to the story. And you know what I console myself with when I don't have answers yet? I say, well, maybe it's not God's time yet to answer. But there are certain things that no matter how long I live, the answers will not come because they would not glorify God. Now, when we say, so that God will be glorified, what really is the glory of God? What really is God's glory? When we say, let's glorify God, what really does it mean to glorify God? Because if we cannot define these things, if we don't know what they are, it will be very, very difficult to do it. What really then is God's glory? First of all, let me tell you, it's very difficult to define what God's glory is. Because not one sentence cannot capture it. But I will do a small trial just to help us to understand. There is more to it than what I can define. But what I have seen is part of it. It is more than that. Okay? The word glory is taken from the Latin word gloria, which means fame and renown. And it's used to describe the manifest presence of God in a place. God's glory is the public display of the infinite beauty, majesty, and worth of God. The glory of God is the beauty of His Spirit. It is not an aesthetic beauty or a material beauty, because God is not flesh. God is not material. God is Spirit. But it is the beauty that emanates from His character, from all that He is. And I'm just trying. You see how I'm struggling? Because I cannot fully describe what God's glory is. Let me repeat it again for anybody who is writing. The word glory is taken from the Latin word gloria, which means fame and renown. And it is used to describe the manifest presence of God, whether in our congregation, whether in our worship, in our lives. Glory is used to describe, and it only describes, the manifest presence of God. The public display of the infinite beauty, majesty and worth of God. God's glory is the public display of the infinite beauty, majesty, and worth of God. The glory of God is the beauty of his spirit. It is not an aesthetic beauty or a material beauty. You know, when I look at my wife, I look at aesthetic and material beauty. But God's, it can't even compare anything to God's glory. But it is the beauty that emanates from his character, from all that he is. I would dare say that God's glory is in the beauty of the image, the glory and majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." You know what God said? God said to Moses, "Nobody can see me and live." Moses desired to see the glory of God. God pointed him to the face of God. God did not create man to rival him in any way in his glory. Because the glory that God received from the worship of angels was one of the things that Satan desired. And that caused Satan to fall. Well, it didn't cause Satan to fall because it was in the heart of Satan. It was his heart that caused him to fall. But from the Bible, we know that Satan wanted to attain the glory. He wanted to sit in the seat of God. He wanted to receive the glory of God unto himself. God said, "I will share my glory with no one." And that is why it is a very destructive, dangerous thing to want to take the glory of God and abrogate it unto yourself, unto man. When somebody compliments you on your beauty, and you go, "Yeah, I know I'm beautiful, eh?" It was God who created you to be beautiful. If you do not reflect it back to him, you're taking it upon yourself. If they compliment you on your knowledge or your wisdom, and you don't reflect it back to God in humility, you are abrogating God's glory unto yourself. Even in preaching, it's a dangerous thing for many people when you stand on stage and you have preached and it impacts people's lives. And they come to you, "Pastor, that impacted my life. Thank you." And you don't reflect it back to God. You are taking God's glory for yourself. You know, when I preach and anybody comes to tell me, God immediately reminds me that, you see, that donkey that Jesus rode, that donkey was a donkey. It was only a tool. The glory belongs to the rider, not to the donkey. God can give a donkey words to speak. And he reminds me that I'm no better than a donkey that God has given words to speak so that his name will be glorified. God will not share his glory with anyone. And it's important for us as Christians to know that whatever we ask God for, we have to preface it in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our asking that, "Lord, will your name be glorified by what I'm asking of you? Lord, will your name be glorified by what I'm asking of you?" So when we read the scripture, "Ask God for anything," if we take that scripture apart, then we can say, "God, kill my enemies." But then if we take those scriptures together, Will God's name be glorified by me killing your enemies? It now begins to make sense. God blind my mother-in-law. Will God's name be glorified by him blinding your mother-in-law? But if you take it apart, God, ask God anything, he will do it. We have the tendency now to ask God for the wrong things. God is jealous for his glory. God is very particular about his glory. We were created to give, make his name glorified, to bring glory unto him. When we worship him, we glorify him. In the skills that he has given us to be diligent in it, his name is glorified. If he gives us things to do well in business, his name is glorified because God is invested in our doing well so that his name will be glorified. God is invested in our beauty, in everything, in our success, so that his name will be glorified. Success apart from the glory of God, it means nothing. Wealth apart from the glory of God, it means nothing. Read the books from the richest men on earth, books that billionaires have written. Apart from the glory of God, the books, they always talk about an emptiness, about what they have achieved. Read books about secular authors who have reached the highest places in life. They will tell you how lonely and empty they find it. It's because anything we achieve in this world, apart from the glory of God, eventually we find that it is meaningless. And there's somebody who had done that before us. You know, I said, done that, bought the t-shirt. Solomon, he did it. That's why he could tell us that vanity upon vanity, all without Christ is vanity. An emptiness, a chasing after the wind. You know, I think Brother Kunle is the only one who has chased the wind and caught the wind. You know, all of us, we've been trying to catch the wind. Nobody has been able to catch the wind. But if you can catch the wind, you have made it in life. Emptiness, chasing after the wind. That is what life is, apart from us bringing glory to his name. Now that we know in parts, you know, we see in parts, we've tried to describe the glory of God, you know, in a flawed way. How then in our lives should we bring glory to him? That is, what do we ask for that will glorify him? How do we live to glorify him? How do we in our lives bring glory to his name? So that whatever we have in success, in beauty, in health, it will be that his name will be glorified. That will continue next week by the grace of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in these few words, thank you for helping us to know the reason why we ask you for anything. Thank you for all that you have given us, for you are the one who has created us for your own good pleasure. Lord, may your name be glorified in our lives, as you have told us that we should let men see our good works so that those who see those good works may glorify you, our Father who is in heaven. We know full well that our lives in every aspect should bring glory to your name. Whatever you have given us in wisdom, in knowledge, in industry, in health, in riches, All, Lord, is so that you will be glorified. What you have blessed us with that our hearts are happy with, what you have said that even the Gentiles, they have need of it, that you have blessed us with, is so that your name, our Lord, be glorified. As you teach us on this journey, Lord, in our lives, what faith means, what we have faith in, what we have faith to ask you for. Lord, open our eyes to the deeper things that concern you, Lord. Many might ask you for things to consume upon their lusts, but Lord, we want to ask for things that will impact eternity. We want to ask for things that will bring your glory, your majesty, your kingdom, that the world might see. That your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Jesus, these are the things we want to know. So we pray, open our eyes to the understanding of these deeper things, O Lord, so that our lives will not be superficial. So that whether we have much or we have little, your name is glorified. Whether we are in good health or in poor health, your name is glorified. Whether we live or in our dying, Lord, your name be glorified. This is our desire. This is our prayer. And as Lord, you teach us, give us listening ears, not only to hear, but to be able to practice. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank God for His word this morning. Another